James sits on the edge of the chopper's rear door and nods. Perhaps I have more intel than you know, such as the result of blood tests that Henrietta carried out. Which are doubtless supposed to convince me that we're brothers, Lethbridge Stewart says, his tone making it clear what he thinks of the idea. No, they're meant to convince me. In any case, you're the one with incomplete memories. How can you be so sure of anything? James sighs, sits back and stretches out his legs, turning the ankles to undo the tensions and incipient cramps in them. The logical thing for you to believe is that I'm simply a foreign agent maintaining my cover identity, and or that I'm still trying to convince you in the hope that there's still a concentration of SB117 in your bloodstream, which, incidentally, there undoubtedly is. So I believe you and tell myself it's the drugs that make me that way, if it helps you feel better. Though I must also point out that, of course, I have not been subject to Henrietta's chemical ministrations, as far as I know, which is always a matter of faith, and so have no such excuse. James stands and reaches into a compartment in the chopper. He pulls out a rucksack, ration packs, water bottles, and a few other bits and pieces of gear suitable for hours of hiking. My brother had an imaginary friend, Lethbridge Stewart says suddenly, testing. Maha, James says quietly. Lethbridge Stewart can feel the colour drain from his face. How can the man before him possibly know that? He is not James Gordon Lethbridge Stewart. James, his brother, died over 30 years ago. How could you know that? Lethbridge Stewart asks. How do you think, old man? And why ask otherwise? Lethbridge Stewart blinked away the memory. He was loath to admit it, but as he drove back from his wild goose chase in Llandudno, he knew he had been grasping at straws since Deepdene. He still wasn't sure what had happened to him, but it had thrown up many doubts in his mind. For reasons he didn't really want to think about, he knew he was throwing himself at whatever crossed his desk, anything that hinted at alien involvement. He needed something tangible, not confusion produced by the psychoactives that Henrietta Beswick had administered. His memory still felt like Swiss cheese. It seemed people were intent on playing with it. First the great intelligence, when he was only a boy. Not that he had known about that until a couple of months ago, and more recently, agents of the Eastern Bloc. His history was important. It was something drummed into him at an early age by his grandparents, by his parents. History defined the man you became, in Lethbridge Stewart's view, and the man he was today was a direct result of his proud lineage, of his experiences, his memories. Mess with those, and what became of the man? He shook his head, feeling his thoughts drifting once again. He needed something solid to deal with. It had all started almost 3 weeks back, when General Hamilton told him to look into Ed Hill, one-time lead singer of Kathmandu. The investigation had led to the strange goings-on at Hill's free concert in Wembley Stadium 5 days ago, his so-called comeback. But despite questioning several people, it seemed Lethbridge Stewart was too late. Someone had got there before him and cleaned up rather nicely. Someone with more clout and resources than he. Which left him with only the story of the grinning man that had crossed his desk. He had to get the evidence he and Hamilton required to prove to himself that he wasn't going mad. He reached out and opened the glove box and pulled out the embassy packets Sally had left behind. He wasn't a smoker, but he had to admit he was sorely tempted right now. He removed one, pressed the lighter on the dashboard, and hoped that the nicotine would relax him. Sally swore by it, and he owed it to her to give her the benefit of the doubt, especially after all that business with Marianne Kyle.